going. Okay, good morning. We continue in Sefer Shmuel, Aleph Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. We're in the middle of Shmuel's criticism of Shaul. And as you recall, when Shmuel says, "What's the sound of the sheep I hear?" and Shaul gave excuses, and then Shmuel said, "No." He said, "You did the wrong thing. And why didn't you listen to Hashem?" And then Shaul insisted he did listen to Hashem. And then Shmuel finally says, "No." He says, Hashem doesn't want your animal offerings. He wants more that you should listen to him. And now he continues this theme in Pasuk Chaf Gimel. It's a hard Pasuk to dissect over here. We'll just go with the Malbim and keep it simple. He says, "Ki chatas kesem meri, ve'ovan utrafim haftzar." So you say, for the sin of kesem means sorcery, going to ksamim, the sorcerers, soothsayers who could tell the future. So we'll see what that fits in. For ovan utrafim, the sin of idol worship, haftzer. So what do all those words mean? And then he says, yan ma'astas dvar Hashem, and since you disdain the word of Hashem, and he has disdained you from being a king. So let's see what the Malbim has to say. He's continuing in his criticizing Shaul, saying, forget about the Karbonos. Hashem wants you to listen to him and not bring Karbonos. And now he's saying, Kichatos, what's the sin? He says, and worse, the fact that you're arguing with the Navi and you're saying you didn't do anything wrong, so now you've added even greater sin upon the sin that you did beforehand. Arguing and saying that you didn't do anything wrong, that's even a bigger sin. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, Kichatas Kesem Meri. He says that the sin of Meri, of rebelling, of arguing and saying, I didn't do anything wrong, it's like the sin of Kesem. It's like the sin of going to the sorcerers, the soothsayers. That is what does that mean? Hameri v'haseruf, rebelling and arguing against Hashem, right? That sin is equal to the sin of kesem, of sorcery. Okay, Torah says you're not allowed to go to sorcerers. You're not allowed to go to people who are going to tell you what's going to happen in the future. You know, go to the palm readers. All these, you can't go to them. It's the same source. The person who denies the Musar from Hashem, when he's being criticized, he's like the guy who goes to the soothsayer. Why? Because the main sin, what's the main sin of going to a soothsayer? You want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. I want to know, should I invest my money in this and that? And the reason I want to know how to invest, how much money I'm going to make, I'm not much stock I'm going to make, be able to give. And then I'll be able to give for good causes. So I need to know what the future's going to be. What does that lack? Even though it may even be right, let's say the soothsayer would be correct, still it goes against what the Torah says, Tomim im Hashem Elokecha. You have to walk wholesomely with Hashem. You have to go wholesomely with Hashem. And if there's a Navi to go to, you go to a Navi. And you don't go to the soothsayer. Because the Torah says, the nations of the world, they go to the fortune tellers. But you, Hashem, gave you a Navi, and you listen to the Navi. And therefore, that which you rebelled and denied the words of criticism of the Navi, that is like the same sin. It means you're not going wholesomely. You're not satisfied with what the Navi says. The Navi says you sinned, finish. No, I'll figure another way to tie it up, another way to explain it. So that denial is as great as going to the soothsayers. You're lacking bitachon Hashem. You're not going wholesome with Hashem. Wholesomely also says that, you know what, you were wrong, and you have to admit that you were wrong. That's what he's saying with the first thing. So, well, we'll see. One second. He's saying like this. I've jumped a little bit over here. Again. The first sin was that he wasn't tummy with Hashem, and he thought he was smarter than Hashem and didn't listen. Okay, so when he went against the Navi's command, that was like going to the soothsayer. In other words, going to the soothsayer, what's wrong with that? Is you're not totally trusting in Hashem. You don't have total bitachon Hashem. That's why you know, if you have total bitachon Hashem, he says, listen, I don't need to know the future. If they don't tell me the future, it's also fine. And I'll go trusting in Hashem. Going to the soothsayer means, you know, I don't know what's going to be. If they tell me what's going to happen, then I feel calm. What's wrong with just feeling you're in Hashem's hands and let Hashem guide you the way it should be? You don't have to know in advance. So the person who second guesses Hashem when Hashem gives a certain command and you don't listen to that command, it's the same thing. You don't have to be talking to Hashem. So the fact you didn't listen to Hashem, that's one thing. So that's Chatas Kesem Mary. The sin, so Mary not listening to the command of Hashem, that's like going to the soothsayer. Then for oven, utrafim haftzer. And then the next point, like the trafim, that's like avodah zarah, like mamish, it's idol worship. That is the haftzer. That is the continuing to argue. If you still don't admit to your sin, that's the guy who's adding on to the sin of idol worship. And you still think that you aren't wrong, that's even a bigger sin. And that's why Hashem has rejected you. So there's two aspects here. You've got the original chait, and then the haftzer, the insistence that I'm still right, even after all that. That's already, like it's mamish, now you don't have trust in Hashem. It's like you mamish think Hashem's wrong. And that's already like idol worship. And that's the worst thing. So he's criticizing him on both ends. He's saying, number one, I'm not interested. First of all, you said you want to bring korbanos. That's not what I want. I want you. I don't want korbanos. And number two, if it was bad enough, you rebelled, and now you're even insisting that you're correct? That's really like idol worship. And now you have shown your disgust for Hashem, so Hashem has shown his disgust with you. Alright, at this point, finally, Shaul gets the message. Chaf Dalid. Vayomer Shaul, but he only gets part of the message. Vayomer Shaul el Shmuel. Shaul says to Shmuel, Chatosi, I have sinned. Now it's interesting, you know, Chatosi, it's all interesting, the word chet keeps being used, which implies what? Didn't say, the Navi never said Poshata. And he never said Poshati, which seemed to imply, chet means was Bishogig, was unintentional. Pesha means was intentional. And even the Navi said was Chatas. Kesem, Mary. It was the sin. It was a chait. So he says, oh, okay, I agree. So I guess I made an un-. And it wasn't on purpose. He only had L'shem Shemayim intentions. He never felt, I don't want to listen to Hashem, meaning to say, I don't care what Hashem says. I don't care about the Jewish cause. He figured, he made a calculation, you know, although Hashem said this, but it's hard to believe he really wanted. Maybe it was a test. Maybe the Navi's wrong. All the things we talked about the last few weeks. So it was, at the end of the day, unintentional, but still was still a sin. And again, I guess that's not that bad, but when he was so insistent that he still did the right thing, so he's saying that's really bad. So now, Shaul's saying, but still, so he says, Chatasi, ki avarti es pi Hashem. I have transgressed the mouth of Hashem. Ves v'recha, and your words. But still, ki erasi yisam, I was still afraid of the people. Veshma b'kolam, and I listened to their voice. So it's still, I was wrong, but, see, before I wasn't wrong. Okay, I'm wrong. It was wrong, but I have an excuse. My excuse is the pressure. Right? So even though he admitted to sin, but he's still giving excuses, the reason my sin was because I was afraid and to go against the will of the people. So at least that should, you know, mitigate the damage and the punishment that you should confer upon me. Now Rashi...
Should he have said Peshati then?
I'm sorry?
Should he have said...
No, I made a mistake. You know, and remember, as we learned from Rav Tzadok, that by the people having mercy and putting pressure, he felt this was a siman from Hashem, that the Navi was wrong. So in other words, he's saying, I was misled. I was misled by the people, but I really had the best of intentions. So it's interesting, Rashi says on Pasuk of Dalad, who is the people? He says it's Doeg HaAdomi. So all our nemesis that we'll find later on, Doeg HaAdomi, which he was a very important general for Shaul HaMelech. Later on, we'll see more about him. And Rashi says that he was Choshev Kukum. He was equal like all of them. Now, it's interesting. Rashi in Shmuel Beis is going to discuss how this guy, Doeg, was a Ben HaMaleki. He came from Amalek. Somehow he was pedigreed from Amalek. That's why Doeg HaAdomi, Doeg the man from Edom. So it all makes sense because it was someone from a pedigree of Amalek that influenced him to think, to not listen to Hashem. So it all fits in how it had to be some Amalek connection to bring him down. Okay. But now that he says, I was wrong, okay, and I have an excuse, and now he figures in Chavei, Vata sona eschatosi. So he's saying, forgive my sin. Vishuvi me and come back with me. Vishtachav al Hashem. And we'll bow down to Hashem. Now, since where did Shmuel meet him? Remember, they were in Gilgal, right? So they hadn't been back with all the people. They were in Gilgal. Right? The people were in the south. Remember, he went all the way to Carmel, built his monument, then went to Gilgal. Then he's going to meet Shmuel, and he says, "Okay, so now let's go back to the people, and let's bow down to Hashem, and let's continue. I made a mistake, so now let's go on." So the Malbim explains, so since it's figured Vato, and now what is it now? And now that I have this excuse, there's lots of pressure, an excuse. So you're saying, okay, I sinned against Hashem. Okay, I agree. So now forgive that. Forgive what I did. Sonas chatosi. And I didn't listen to Hashem. And now let's go back and we'll bow down to Hashem and I'll ask for slich and kapara and you'll help me get my tshuva done. Help me with my tshuva. So he didn't realize the magnitude of his avera. He didn't realize the magnitude as the Malbim has been building up throughout. The magnitude of the sin. Okay, it's a sin, so let's fix it. You can always do tshuva on everything. Pasuk Chavav. Vayoymer Shmuel El Shol. Shmuel says, Shol, lo ashuvimach. I will not go back with you. I will not be able to help you to do tshuva. Kimo astes tevar Hashem, because you disdained the word of Hashem. Remember what I told you? Vayimasko Hashem yos melch Yisrael. Hashem is now disdained of you. That you should be a king over the Jewish people. Why? He's saying, because your excuse is not an excuse. Maybe it will be an excuse for a regular Jew, but you are operating as a melech. You're operating on a different level. And it doesn't help by a melech to say, whose kingdom comes from heaven, as we said yesterday from the mom as well, for you to be afraid of people. You know, that's not just a little mistake. You know, that's the essence of what a king is. A king cannot be afraid of people. And therefore Hashem has disdained you of being a king to the degree that you disdained him by listening to the people. And therefore you're not worthy for kingship at all. So, and your excuse cannot be an excuse in this area. And therefore you can't be a king. Because if you're afraid from people, you don't believe in Hashem, you know, that's the main thing. So that is not excusable. And you're finished. So, Chav Zayin, a very touching moment here. Vayisov Shmuel Aleches. Shmuel turned back to go away, to go back. Vayechazak, Vayechazek. Now here's a pronoun here. And he grabbed on. It doesn't say who grabbed on. And he grabbed on, Bichnaf Nilo. He grabbed onto the corner of his garment. It doesn't say who grabbed on to who. Look at the beginning. It says, Shmuel turned away to go. And he grabbed on to the corner of his garment, vayikara, and it tore. So the question is, who grabbed on to who? So Rashi says, lefi pshuto, if you're just doing this simple meaning of the text, it means that when Shmuel turned away to go away from Shaul, then Shaul grabbed on to the garment of Shmuel. And Shaul wanted him to go with him, that they should bow down in Gilgal. That's where the old Moed was. He wanted him to go back to Gilgal. And therefore, he ripped Shmuel's garment. That's the Pashup Shad. You read it, you know, because it seems Shmuel wants to go away, so who's grabbing whose garment? He wants to stop the guy from going away. The Medrash says, brings down a machlokes for the rabbis, and the Musar Nevi'im brings it down a little fuller. It's Medrash Rabin Rus. It says, Mi'ilo Shol Mi, whose garments? It's a machlokes Rav and Levi. One said it was the garment of Shol, right? Mi'ilo Shol Shol. And the other one says the garment of Shmuel. And he says it makes sense. It makes sense. The one that says it was the garment of Shmuel. Now you're going to see. It's going to be even a third opinion. You're going to see. Shederach tzaddikim lios korin b'shah she'enit yosam mishabeches. It's the way of the tzaddikim to rip their garments when their plantings do not succeed. So it's interesting. The way the Gemara says it, and the way Rashi says it here. So now we're going to bring it the way Rashi says. Rashi says Yesh Omrim was Me'ilah Shol Shmuel Korah Shmuel. That Shol ripped Shmuel's garment, and some say it was Shol. I'm sorry, Me'ilah Shol Shmuel Korah Shol. The Shol ripped Shmuel's garment, and some say it was the garment of Shol that Shmuel ripped. So Shmuel, the way Rashi learns, Shmuel ripped Shaul's garment. And he gave him a sign in the future. He said, it was a sign. Whoever will rip your garment in the future is going to be the king in your place. And that's exactly what happened when later on when Shaul is chasing David and he goes into a cave to relieve himself. And he doesn't know that David was in that cave, and David was very deft in being able to cut the garment of Shaul without him realizing it. And then later he showed him the cut garment. So he says, that's going to be the simon that the guy is going to be the king after you. Right. So that's the two interpretations. However, from the way I read from the Gemara, it seemed a little bit differently. And the Radak specifically says, V'yesh omrim, some say, the Radak says, Ki Shmuel kara me'ilas ha'shalatso. Shmuel ripped his own garment. Shmuel ripped his own garment. And that's what it means, what the Gemara is saying over there. That's the way that tzaddikim, that when they plant something and it doesn't succeed, they rip their own garments. So the Musar Nevi'im just adds a little bit over here. Because why? Because that's the sign. Well, when are you supposed to rip a garment? When you're a mourner. You're a miss of Kriya. So the fact that we rip our garments when there's something terrible that cannot be repaired. Right? You plant something and it doesn't work. You can't repair it. You can try another planting, but this planting didn't work. So this planting of planting Shol as the Melech, it didn't work. And he understood that he's finished. He may be physically alive, he may look to be physical king, but he's dead. He's totally not the king anymore, and that for that he mourns. So Shmuel himself mourned over the fact that he would no longer be the king anymore. So that's and then finally we go to the Malbim, who gives another insight of what's going on over here. He says, and of course, there is a one second. So you know, we'll wait for the Malbim for Chav Ches. In Chav Ches, he's going to explain the total thing over here. So we got three different opinions. Either the simple pshat is Shol ripped Shmuel's garment inadvertently, or we say that Shmuel himself, he just ripped Shol's garment, or Shmuel ripped his own garment. But what's the idea of the rip? So one pshat is, Rashi says, the ripping is, so your kingdom is going to be ripped away. And we'll see what Shmuel says. Chav Ches. Vayomer lav Shmuel. Shmuel says, Kara Hashem es mamlechus Yisrael me'alech hayom. Hashem has ripped apart the kingdom of Israel from you today. Unesana l'reacha hatov mimecha. And has given it to your friend who is better than you. So Rashi already explained. That means whoever's going to rip your garment, you're going to know he's going to be the king. So the Malbim explains very interestingly. He says that there is a question that when a Navi says that something bad is going to happen, it doesn't always have to be that way. Remember, famous rule, the Rambam says, how do you know if a Navi is a true Navi or not? Well, one thing he says, the Navi prophesies something bad is going to happen, it doesn't mean it has to happen. Just like by Yonah and Nineveh, he said Nineveh would be destroyed, it wasn't destroyed. Doesn't necessarily have to be, because there's always the opportunity of tshuva. On the other hand, if the Navi says something good is going to happen, that must happen. Okay, so now based on that, let's...
But tshuva does not apply to kings, that's the whole point.
Well, we'll have to see. To some parts it could, and to some parts it doesn't. So let's see what the Malbim has to say over here. He says very interestingly, he says that even though when a Navi says something for bad, it could change through tshuva, but when the Navi says it and he does it accompanied with an action with his prophecy, then it doesn't change. There's an aspect of within the prophecy, there's an action. Sometimes Hashem gives a nevuah and says part of the nevuah is you do something physically, tangibly. So when there's an action associated with a nevuah, that is saying not the bad thing is going to happen, but rather the gzeira has already begun. The bad thing has already begun. See, there's one thing to say, okay, right now it's good. In the future, whatever, 6 weeks from now, 40 days from now, 10 years from now, bad is going to happen. That can be changed. But if the Navi is saying something bad and he does an action accompanied with it, he's not saying bad is going to happen. The bad has come. You are already not a king. Your king's just been taken away from you. It's happened immediately. And that's what he's saying. Korah Hashem, Hashem has already, Korah Hashem, he will rip. Hashem has ripped the kingdom from you. Right? And that was that action. He's saying, Shenasi Simanavu. That's that action of ripping the garment happened with the Nevuah itself. Right? So it's not a decree for the future, but it's already happened. And therefore you can't make it change. And that's what he's saying. The first hand is Kfar Korahayim Fenasker. That's the first half of the pasuk. Hashem has already ripped it away. But then he says a second part. He says, and besides that, he's given it to someone better than you. And that can also not be changed, because that's a good prophecy. It's a good prophecy for the new king. I prophesy there will be a new king. It shall be David. He doesn't know that yet who's going to be David. But someone who's better than you. And so therefore, Hashem cannot change the Nevuah anyway for two reasons now. Number one, it's already happened that you've lost the kingdom. And number two, Hashem has promised a new kingdom to someone else, and that's a good prophecy, and a good prophecy can never be changed, and therefore, on both ends, it's an irrevocable situation. On both ends. So that was Shaul's mistake. He figured I could still do tshuva on this. He says, this is already, now even though, it's interesting, I believe the Musar Nevi'im says this, that even though he told him in Gilgal before the war of the Plishtim, he said that your kingdom will not last. Remember, he said that a while ago. He says, so you're going to say, so it's an old decree. He said, no, that one could have been changed. When he told him the last prayer, when he didn't wait for him in the battle of the Plishtim, he says, your kingdom, he said, Mamlachtecha lo takum, won't be anymore. That was just a bad prophecy. So he could have got out of that. And how could he have got out of it? With this battle of Amalek and the test. That had he passed the test, he would have rise to the occasion and the guy would have taken away that futuristic bad prophecy. So then, and more than that, because then he didn't say, I've already found a better king than you.
That's right.
He just said, your kingdom won't last. He didn't say, I found a better king. But now he's saying, you're, it's done. It's been ripped out from you. And I found another one. And the action accompanying it, that's it. You're done. And there's nothing else to talk about. Okay. And then he says another pasuk to reinforce this idea as well. And don't think Hashem can change his mind here. Chavtes, very famous pasuk. V'gam netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Literally it means, and also the eternity of Israel, lo yeshaker, does not lie, will not lie, lo yinachem, will not change his mind. Ki lo adam hu, lehinachem. He is not a person. Hashem is not a person. Now, obviously, Netzach Yisrael is a reference to Hashem. Netzach Yisrael, the eternal one of Israel. And he's not like a person that he changes his mind. So Rashi explains on that. Rashi says on that. And if you're going to think that you'll do tshuva, so he says the tshuva won't help for your kingship, because Hashem is eternal and Hashem doesn't lie. That he said he would do the good to somebody else, that the good that he said he was going to give to David HaMelech can't be set back. That's his pshat.
God doesn't relent, right?
Well, I still have to explain what the Malbim has to say. So there's still what to talk about over here. So he says like this. So he says, don't figure when Hashem makes a prediction and Hashem says something, and Hashem says there's a destiny that's going to happen, he calls it a yud ha'eloki. That's God's future decisions. He makes a decision about the future. It's not like the yud of a bnei adam. It's not like when a person says he's going to do something. Because when a person says he's going to do something, it could be two reasons why it won't happen. Number one, it could be the person is lying right away. And he's exaggerating. In other words, sometimes a father will say, you know, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to punish you. I'm going to this, I'm going to that. Father never intends on doing it at all. He's just saying to scare the pants off the kid. Kid did something bad. Father says, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to this. Father's not going to kill him. The kid thinks he's going to kill him. But so when he says it, he's lying. He knows he's lying. It's a threat. But he knows that. And sometimes, even if the father, you know, wants to do a certain thing, but the father may change his mind. He may have mercy. Oh, I'm going to punish you. No television for a year. And he means it. But then, okay, as Rahman is, okay, he changed his mind. That's how it is by people. But Hashem is eternal. And one of the conditions of his eternality is you don't find any changes, not in the present and not in the future. It just doesn't change. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. The eternal one of Israel never lies. Meaning, don't think that he made this decree and he's yelling at you and screaming at you, but he's doing it to scare you, and then he's going to change his mind. He intends to change. He never meant it. He's not lying that he never meant it. Lo yinachem, and he won't even change his mind in the future. Because if God would change his mind, that goes against the eternal idea of a God. It's not, you know, God decides and changes his mind, this and that. That he's not a person that does that. That goes against the idea of the eternity of Hashem. Now, although we see many times we daven, but it's not that Hashem changes his mind. Remember, we say, what are we daven for? Hashem makes a person sick, you daven, the person gets better. So what is that? Hashem says, I didn't say the person has to die, I said the person is sick. Based on where you are now, this is what's going to happen. If you change, if the human being changes, then Hashem says no more need for the decree. So it's not Hashem is changing, the person is changing. Hashem essentially never changes. So when it gets to when Hashem says this is, when it gets to what we call gzar din, it's the decree, then there's no change. There's a certain point where you have to buy that story of Ruge Malchus, the 10 martyrs. It was, the Kohen Gadol went to, was it a decree from God? It's a decree from God. It's not, forget it, can't tell me, don't ask. That's it. Guess there is a certain point where Hashem says, I'm not changing my mind now. A number of times, when it's that point, we call that's the gzar din is set. The decree has been cast. The die has been cast. There's no going back. We never know when the die is cast. Sometimes it looks like it is and it isn't. And the last second, Hashem always intended to save you. But here the Navi is saying, forget it. Don't even think anymore. You're done. Nothing to talk. Don't ever think. You always say, well, I'll figure out a way. You're done. It's not going to happen anymore. And the kingdom is gone. He didn't mean it. The Mephorshim say he never meant it. He left it open-ended for him to see if Moshe would be the defense attorney for the Jews.
See, I can say that.
That's Chazal. Chazal say that.
Okay, I can see that because Abraham is negotiating.
It's the same thing. Okay. Chazal right
but
there.
It's clear that was never.
No, he's saying the sin for what they did is deserving that they should be wiped out. That's what Hashem meant. And he left the way he worded it, Chazal say, he left Moshe an opening. If you want to defend them, then there's a chance to save. If you don't want to defend them, then I'm going to wipe them out. If you look in the Pesuk, that's what Chazal say right on the spot. So, but when Hashem decides, even with the Mabul, and finally came the 7 days before, even then, but finally when the 7 days of before the Mabul ended, then Hashem, that's it. Comes to a point where Hashem, that's it, no more. There's nothing to talk about anymore. And that's what so you see so many ways. The fact he ripped the garment says, it's gone. It's already, you've lost it. That's it. I gave you already. This was the second chance. And you messed up on the second chance. You can't do any more chewing on that. Now that, you know, now you're going to be able to understand, you know, the despondency and the depression the Shaul goes through after this. When you're told you're finished, you're a lame duck king. It's now it's just a matter of time now. It's like you lost the re-election. So you've got 2 months to be president of office, right? Forget it, you ain't no king anymore. So he doesn't know when he's going to die. He doesn't know, it could even be a couple of years. It doesn't matter. It doesn't happen right away. But you're already not a king. Can you imagine? You're there, you're functioning, but you know you're not the king.
But the people don't know that.
People don't know that. But he knows that. But he knows that. And what I think is interesting is, you know, like, why doesn't he say, okay, fine, I hand in my resignation.
I give up.
He's fine. So that didn't happen, which is interesting.
He doesn't want to give up the kingship. So.
Well, no, he does. If you look in Pasuk Lamed. If you look in Pasuk Lama, we'll have to see. In Pasuk Lama, he says, Vayyar, he says, Chatos, he says, I sinned. Right? And Rambam says, he understands there's no way to get out, to fix up the sin. That's it. I resign myself to the fact of them. But still, he says, but now, Kabdeidino, please at least give me some respect, Neged Zikneami, before the elders of my people, the Neged Yisrael, before the other Jews, Vishuvi me and return with me, Vishtachavesi Lashem Lokecha, and I will bow down to Hashem your God. In other words, I still have to come back to God. People are going to wonder, where's Shmuel the whole time? Shmuel gave you the command. And Shmuel should be with you at the end. At least give me the covet. If I go back by myself, then everybody figures I'm finished. So at least give me the covet. Okay, I'm out, but at least give me human honor. You know, covet abrius, I'm the king. At least treat me like the king in front of the people that way. Right, so that's what he asked him over there, and one of the Mefarshim says Shol Yizals will be bo dechayi, so the Jews won't make fun of me while I'm alive. That they shouldn't know I'm a lame duck king. And to that he agreed. Vayoshev Shmuel acharei Shol, and Shmuel goes after Shol. Vayishtachu Shol Hashem, and Shol bows down to Hashem. But so in the eyes of the people, it looks like he's still okay, but really he isn't. Again, it's just one of these questions to think about. It's like, so why didn't Shaul resign right away? I guess he felt. The truth is, David's not ready yet.
Yeah.
He's not yet ready. It's not the time for David to be the king. So Shaul, you see a great character in Shaul nonetheless, that he's willing to stick it out. He could have just said, okay, I hand him a resignation, goodbye, and go back to the farm. Go back to my father's farm. What do you want to train me to go? Why? So, okay, I punish me that I'm not the king anymore. I'll be a regular individual. Doesn't seem that could happen. It's destined that he has to die. He has to die. It's not enough that he's deposed of being the king. Really, that's all he's saying. Hashem, he never saying where the punishment is you're going to die. He says you're not going to be the king anymore. So, but you see, he's going to die from that as well. Now, just, yeah.
Well, isn't it possible that this next period of time is also Nisayon for him? That he, like you said, he could have done that. But on the other hand, maybe he doesn't mean it right now, but as time goes on, he obviously seems to pull back from this acceptance because he fights David.
So we'll have to see. We'll have to wait and see.
Maybe that's why
what's going on now. I mean, that's a whole new issue that we have to see. Like, if he knows he's out, he's out. So what's he fighting him for? We'll have to see. What is interesting is why does the Navi refer to Hashem as Netzach Yisrael? There's a lot of ways to describe Hashem. He could have just said, Hashem lo yishakir. You know, what does that do to Netzach? So we know Netzach is one of the Sfiros. It's one of the Sfiros, one of the Midas Hashem. Netzach comes from the word Nitzchi, who's eternal. So on a simple level, Hashem is eternal. His word is eternal. Eternal is consistent. Hashem, whatever Hashem says, that's going to be. That's Netzach. So, but let's look a little bit more. We know that Netzach is which shepherd's midah, which tzaddik had the midah of Netzach? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is Netzach. Moshe gave us, we say of Brachos of Torah, V'chaye olam nota b'sochenu, an eternal life he implanted within us. You know, the Torah is Netzach. The Torah is forever. Whatever Moshe touched was forever. He built the, under him the Mishkan was built. The Mishkan never was destroyed. The Mishkan itself was never destroyed. The Kalim was never destroyed. If he would have taken us to Israel, we could never have, and built the base of Israel, could never have been destroyed. He had the Midas touch. The spiritual Midas touch. He brought down the Torah. Torah is eternal. It's never stopped. And Torah is intrinsic to the eternity of Jewish people. The Jewish people are only eternal to the extent that we connect to the Torah that is eternal. That's the only way that we remain an eternal people. Without that, we don't have no connection to eternity. So, and it's interesting that in the same way that just as Moshe brought down the Torah from the heavens down to the earth, to the Jewish people, so that's what Moshe did, but still there was one more thing that had to happen. You need the Jewish king to bring the Jewish people up to the heavens, as it were. You know, just the Torah comes down. The king, remember, he has to be the nugget. He has to draw the people to that Torah. Hashem can give you a Torah, but you've got to draw the people to take that eternity of the Torah. And that's the king's job, to make us live by the Torah. So there's two ends. There's the starting point of Netzach Yisrael, and there's the ending part of Netzach Yisrael. There's on the coming down, the source. Hashem is the source of Netzach Yisrael. The Torah is what can be. So it's there. But now you need the king to bring the people up and to live on the higher standard of what Netzach Yisrael is all about. And that's the king's job. And that's where Shaul failed and where David will succeed. So Netzach is not complete. Just like in all the midas are not complete until you have the last seventh midah of Malchus. Malchus means, for example, what is the attribute of Malchus? Everyone seems to have a characteristic, compassion, control, humility, consistency, bonding. Those are all specific qualities. What's Malchus? Right? Malchus means that although the potential of the Midah is there, you make the Midah happen. For example, let's say get all excited. It's before Purim. Say, you know, I'm going to give a lot of money to Tzedakah. I pledge $500 to Matana Sefion. That was Chesed in action. I said I'm going to do it. But then what happens at the end of the day? He didn't end up giving the money. I was busy. I was that. I was this. I never ended up giving. And then he didn't get what was lacking. Malchus. Malchus enables that the midah that we're talking about operates. Right? There's this. You know, when you've made a decision, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzachod. Those are the decision-making midos. Right. And till you sowed, but then in there you got to do it. So what's that last thing? You go and do it. That's malchus. That's nobility. The king says and it happens. You overcome the difficulties to make it happen. You want to bond with somebody. You want to ask mechila from somebody. Yeah, I'm going to ask mechila, but you never end up asking mechila. So Netzach, the eternity of Jewish people, it's all there. So Moshe brought it down. Here's the midah. This is the midah of eternality, consistency. Consistently living like a Jew. Moshe gives us a Torah. This is how you've got the tool for consistency. It's here. Now you need the Melech to bring the people up to it so it will happen. And that's what Reb Tzadok says. He says both of them, Moshe and David, are equal. And there's so many parallels, he said. Both their fathers died without having sinned. Right? Both their fathers, Amram and Yishai, both never sinned. So that's why these people have to be like that. And Moshe Rabbeinu is also called a melech, as Gemara says, who are the kings? The rabbis, the scholars. They're the kings as well. So, and he says, Moshe Rabbeinu has cholos ha-Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is the beginning of Torah. V'David ha-melech sofa ba-Torah shebal peh. David ha-melech is the end of the Torah, meaning the Torah shebal peh, as is written in other places. Okay, but the point being that they both bring out malchus. Just one other nice point that Rav Tzadok says somewhere else, that Gemara says somewhere else. It's in, now you see it all fits into place. Now, Moshe made the Shemen HaMishcha. That was the anointing oil. And to anoint the utensils, to unite the Kohanim, to anoint kings. Anything that has to be made holy, he made the special Shemen HaMishcha. The Gemara says that since Moshe's Netzach, that oil, that first batch of oil, never ran out. It always refills. That's Netzach. Whatever Moshe makes doesn't end. So very good. So when Shmuel anointed Shaul, if you remember, I don't know if you remember, I made a point of it then, but now we'll bring it back. So Radak makes a point saying, what did he anoint him with? He anointed him with Shemen Afar Simon, balsam oil. Not with the Shemen HaMishcha. Not with the Shemen HaMishcha. But when he anoints David, it's with the Shemen HaMishcha. That's the real anointing oil. To be the real Melech, the real Melech needs the connection to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever he touches is eternal, and the Jewish people should be eternal. The Torah is eternal, and the king is to bring the Jewish people to that eternal Torah, that they will be an eternal people. And then you deserve the Shemen HaMishcha. So David HaMelech would do that, and that's why he got the Shemen HaMishcha. Shaul, we saw, ultimately didn't. Now, had Shaul passed this test, that very well be that Shmuel would have re-anointed him. Could very well be, whatever, but it all fits in. It's not possible that that Shmuel could have anointed Shaul with the Shemen HaMishcha that Moshe Rabbeinu made, because once that touches you, that's eternal. And for someone to ultimately fail, that wouldn't happen. And that's what the Mikra Maleo also says, that Netzach represents the Torah Lishma, learning Torah for the sake of Torah. And while since Shaul second-guessed Hashem, so Hashem needed Netzach through and through, which he didn't have from Shaul, which he was gonna get from David. So we didn't quite finish everything. We need one more lesson to finish up. But when you'll hear the Haftarah this week, you'll have 99% of the message
of that. Was not going the right way.